Four premiers want to appear before a federal committee to make the case for axing the federal carbon tax.
The Trudeau government has spent $42 million on its gun confiscation scheme without a single firearm purchased.
Taxpayers were billed over $115 million to accommodate asylum seekers in hotels in Niagara Falls last year. Hello Canada, it's Friday, March 28th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jurja.
And I'm Noah Jarvis.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. At least four Canadian premiers are requesting an audience with the House of Commons Finance Committee to urge the federal government to ax the carbon tax increase coming into effect on Monday. Alberta Premier Danielle Smith wrote a letter to the Standing Committee on Finance requesting to testify in opposition to the upcoming tax hike April 1st. Smith wrote, quote, "The federal government must take immediate action by canceling this planned increase for the sake of all Albertans and all Canadians." Smith has asked to testify before committee virtually. Her letter was dated March 26, a day after New Brunswick Premier Blaine Higgs also sent a letter requesting the same as Alberta's premier. New Brunswick's premier also requested to appear virtually. He pleaded to make his case for, quote, why the federal government must, at a minimum, cancel the planned increase. On the same day Smith made her request, Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe also joined the call. He requested to appear virtually no later than March 28th so he could make the case as to why the federal government must cancel the planned increase in the federal carbon tax, or better yet, eliminate the federal carbon tax entirely on everything for everyone. Only hours after Moe's letter, Nova Scotia Premier Tim Houston joined the fray. Protests are also being planned across Canada on major highways and interprovincial borders for April 1st. So Noah, for as long as I've paid attention to Canadian politics, this is really quite remarkable how many premiers are united in their pushback against a federal government policy. And it seems to be ramping up. As I mentioned, there's going to be protests across the country, both big cities and small towns. People are going to come out and protest what the government is doing. They're making people's lives more difficult and more expensive. The question is the carbon tax threatening national unity?
It absolutely, Cosmin. To me, the only reason why the carbon tax had any sort of legitimacy when it was first enacted and it was tested through the courts was because of the principle of cooperative federalism. We have a federal system in which the federal government and the provincial governments are co-equal partners. And if the federal government wants to enact a plan that is nationwide, that has effect on the provinces and forces the provinces to take action and comply with the law, the only way that that law is legitimate is if the provinces also sign on to accepting to abide by that legislation. And clearly, the Trudeau government has not gained that consensus or retained that consensus. Four premiers here are saying that they want to actually meet with the Finance Committee in Ottawa to actually make their case as to why their provinces are struggling as a result of the carbon tax and that it should be repealed, or at the very least, the hike of the carbon tax expected for April 1st should be spiked, as Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre would say. And as I mentioned, Poilievre, he should be credited quite a bit with the national support for, you know, as he would say, axe the tax or spiking the hike or whatever. He's done a really good job making that the sort of political issue that the country cares about the most, and which is, you know, forcing premiers to comment on. I think 7 out of 10 premiers has said that they have asked the federal government to get rid of the hike on the carbon tax. And it has become a unifying issue for Canadians and for premiers across the country. So it would be wise for Prime Minister Trudeau to get rid of the carbon tax, or at the very least to rethink increasing the carbon tax. But I think his government is far too ideologically committed to the carbon tax to renege on that. The federal government has now spent nearly $42 million in taxpayer funds on its firearms buyback program, first introduced in 2020 to confiscate guns deemed illegal by the Liberals. However, despite the costly spending, not a single firearm has been purchased from Canadians. Conservative Senator Don Plett filed an order paper question in September, asking Public Safety Canada to reveal how much money had been spent over the past 4 years on the program, which assigned 60 department employees to work on the project. The response revealed that $41 million had already been spent since 2020. Documents also revealed that a contract of $2.27 million was awarded to IBM to develop, design, and implement the program. However, Public Safety Canada initially said that it would only cost half that figure during its 2020 announcement of the program. According to the documents, the RCMP has 15 full-time employees devoted to the program, and Service Canada also assigned 2 employees, which Public Services and Procurement Canada said it has devoted the equivalent of 5.825 full-time employees as well. The Trudeau government's 2020 ordering council saw over 1,500 gun models banned, and earlier this year, an invitation was sent out to vendors interested in qualifying for the buyback program. The government estimates anywhere from 10,000 to 15,000 newly prohibited firearms are currently owned by Canadian businesses, with an additional 125,000 to 200,000 owned by licensed individuals. So, Cosman, I remember when the Trudeau government was announcing this ban on 1,500-plus firearms, the subsequent announcement of the firearm buyback program. It seemed like something that the Prime Minister was initially very passionate about and thought was of great concern to the public safety of Canada and just to the safety of individuals who want to prevent mass shootings. However, the government, they have not moved on this very much whatsoever and are leaving Canadians to sit with hundreds of thousands of guns that they deem to be illegal and far too dangerous to be legally owned. So why do you believe that the Trudeau government has not made moves on this issue? And why did they spend $42 million on a program that has not even begun to be implemented?
Well, look, in the first place, the entire reason Trudeau introduced this was to virtue signal and pretend like he's actually tackling the issue of crime. This legislation was prepared in response to some mass shooting events, and he wanted to signal to his supporters and those activists who are anti-gun that he's actually taking a step to address the issue. But it doesn't actually address the issue, which is crime. Most of the crime committed in this country is committed with illegal guns. Guns obtained via trafficking, being snuck into the country from the United States, and the Liberals don't want to do anything about that. We know that they're soft on crime. We know that they're not willing to reform the criminal code, and they're not really willing to give tougher sentences to the people who actually commit these crimes or bring those guns into this country. Instead, they're going after law-abiding citizens who follow the rules and follow the law and use guns responsibly. Taxpayers have paid over $115 million to accommodate asylum seekers in hotels throughout Niagara Falls last year. Immigration, Refugees, and Citizenship Canada disclosed the figure following a query raised by Niagara Falls Conservative MP Tony Baldinelli in the House of Commons last month. From February 2023 to February 2024, nearly 5,000 individuals seeking asylum were accommodated in the tourist city. The majority of these asylum seekers originated from Nigeria, Venezuela, Kenya, Turkey, and Colombia. Each refugee claimant was provided housing for 113 days, with the daily expenditure per individual amounting to $208. This led to an approximate annual cost of $115 million. The reported expenses encompass charges for meals, lodging, services, and security measures. However, the Immigration Department has indicated that these figures are a conservative estimate of the total costs, as there was a lack of comprehensive monitoring of such expenses early in 2023. Additionally, expenses accrued since January 1st, 2024 are yet to be fully accounted for due to pending invoices. Noah, $115 million is astounding. I was honestly surprised. And this is only for Niagara Falls only. Think about all of the other cities hosting these programs where the government is just busing people to hotels where they can live off the taxpayers' dime. When was the last time the government paid for a hotel for you, Noah? I know if you have a cushy public service job, the government does that, but the average Canadian doesn't benefit off anything similar. Does it seem like asylum seekers, not legitimate refugees, are being treated better than Canadians?
It seems so. I mean, while the Trudeau government, they want to increase your taxes through the carbon tax, they're giving asylum seekers, you know, a cushy hotel to be lodged in and over $200 per day to, you know, for, I guess, free spending money or whatever. I mean, what kind of average Canadian, I mean, most average Canadians, I don't think have $200 to spend on a daily basis for themselves. A lot of Canadians, they have to rely on, say, spending, getting away with maybe $100 per day on daily expenditures or less, because they're just not making as much. And just the money that they're making is not able to pay off the bills that have been stretching their pockets thin over the past few years of the Trudeau government. So I think it's ridiculous that, you know, we're bringing in all these refugees who are able to be housed for free, while, you know, Canadians are spending over $1 million to be able to house themselves, and they're provided over $200 per day, while your average Canadian does not even probably make over $200 per day. So the Trudeau government, they're a lot more interested in treating non-Canadians better than Canadians. And just one more point I want to add is that the fact that we're bringing in so many asylum seekers is because of the Trudeau government's irresponsible immigration and asylum policies. I think Canada should be open to some asylum seekers for sure. But if we're bringing in people that we just can't properly ingratiate into Canadian society, we're not only doing Canadians a disservice, but we're also doing those asylum seekers a disservice. So it's just yet another example of this government's mismanagement. And it's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons why Canadians are frustrated with this government.
Well, look, I think it's important to stress that these programs don't work. If we're spending $115 million to put people into hotels, what does that tell you? That tells you that we don't have enough housing in this country, affordable places to live, to house these people in the first place, yet they keep bringing them in. And these programs, all they do is create resentment among Canadians and also drive people against immigration. We're seeing it in the polls. Some European countries have figured this out and they've cut these programs entirely because it just doesn't work. If you're coming into this country, you need to find a way to provide for yourself and find a place to live. But unfortunately, there's not enough. The rental market is so tight, and living in most Canadian cities is incredibly expensive. Has Prime Minister Justin Trudeau completely broken our immigration system, Noah? Because they keep inviting the world's migrants to Canada when we simply can't afford it.
It would be accurate to say that the current immigration system is broken. I mean, Candace Malcolm, our boss, did a report a couple weeks ago where she found that Canada brought in over 2 million new people into the country, whether that be international students, whether that be new immigrants. 2 million people in 1 year is a ridiculous amount of people to bring in. It is not sustainable. A lot of these people are going to the same big cities and just making the problem of overcrowding and high housing prices worse. So they have no sort of understanding of this problem because, you know, they're perched up in Ottawa in their ivory tower, lodged in, you know, the Prime Minister's office or the House of Commons on a day-to-day basis, and have no understanding of the on-the-ground realities of mass immigration and what bringing in hundreds of thousands of international students who can't pay the bills is doing to our social services and our food banks. So, yeah, it's definitely accurate to say that our immigration system is broken, and it wasn't like this 10 years ago. Canadians remember that. Canadians remember a country where housing prices were not obscene and to where the average Canadian could realistically buy a home. And Canadians remember a time where there wasn't a bunch of foreign conflicts being enacted out onto the streets of in Canadian major cities, in Brampton, for example. So I think the Trudeau government's failure to understand that the immigration system is what's leading to its worsening, and we get programs like this as a result.
That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if you're able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.